Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
A very pleasant good afternoon and welcome to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium on opening day 2018. A matchup of the New England Patriots and the Houston Texans.
Miller to his right out of the gun, and Miller drops it. The Patriots recover.
They got it.
Hightower was there along with Kyle Van Noy, and Deshaun Watson never completed the exchange.
That's on the quarterback.
Go Patriots.
Brady takes the snap. He throws it left for Gronk. He makes the catch over two defenders and steps across the pylon. Touchdown, Patriots!
The tight end looks pretty darn good to me.
Deshaun Watson goes down.
If I'm still here, or I'm gone.
Watson, he stands in the pocket, and he's in goal.
Pass
is going to be intercepted by Gilmore. Gilmore with a touchback. Chuck gets snap to Brady. Fires to the right for Gronkowski. Makes the catch up the seam. And this time he holds on. Tackled by Cunningham from behind in Houston territory at the Texan 46. Jones and Jonathan has it.
My God, Ryan Allen. Belichick's going to replay this play 25 times.
Brady looks to the back of the end zone for Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots.
Dagger. An absolute dagger to the Texans. It's almost like you're playing chess while other teams play checkers.
Touchdown, Patriots! Watson takes the snap, gets in the pocket, dancing around. He rolls to his right. He pulls up. He launches downfield, well short of the end zone. That ball's going to come down and knocked away at the 15-yard line. Incomplete. And time has run out on the season opener as the Patriots run off the far sideline with a 27-20 victory over the Texans.
He can only throw that ball 50 yards. That's unreal.
But it's official. The Patriots are 1-0.
The Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich, and the morning after a good Patriots win. I think that the score doesn't indicate just how there was never a question who was going to end up winning last night. And in studio with us for the next hour, taking your questions, talking Patriots football, is a gentleman that I have been waiting to ask about one thing that has nothing to do with the Patriots first. And that is that Mike Flynn, if you don't know, played football with a man by the name of Ray Lewis, who made his Hall of Fame speech. Did you get to
15-7-5?
Did you get to watch any of Ray's very memorable?
Well, actually, Rich, you didn't know that I wrote that for him. Yes, I was his speechwriter.
Might as well.
Remember 5 and remember 7 because they're going to have a recurring
attitude. He emailed me the night
before
and said, what I came up with is incoherent and rambling. I need you to write me a speech that's on point. I'm like, all right, here it is.
So, that was a smoothed out version.
That's what I came up with to keep him on point.
Sure, I mean.
Crazy, right?
It sounds like you just like took a bunch of words and put them in a bag and shook them up.
No, what I said is, when in doubt, Ray, go back to the numbers.
That's right.
When in doubt, go to the numbers.
Did he do anything? Did he talk about numbers like that at all when he was playing with you?
Well, after my eighth year, I didn't listen anymore.
So okay, so fair enough.
I think he got into the Zodiac sign later in his career. So okay. Maybe there was a niner in there at times, but
that's why I'm still kissing you in the mouth.
Kissing you in the mouth. Now that we definitely did.
Yeah, sure,
we definitely
course.
Kissed in the mouth. There were some big wins. No, there were some big wins. Yeah, right. Later, we won a couple divisions later in his career. Yeah, so I was a speechwriter, so I in depth. Anything you need to know, you want me to? Do you want to? I'm like a director. I'm not going to tell you what it meant. You just have, you have to interpret it the way right. you want.
It's like the end of The Sopranos. Yeah. You know, you gotta figure out how it actually ended.
I laid it out there. You got to figure it out.
The best thing about Ray Lewis's teammates, and you can talk to any of them. We've talked to Brian Billick, and we've talked to you and a couple other guests who are on the show. Every single one of them says the exact same thing. Just after a little bit of time, we just started ignoring him.
Well, here's the thing, though. Like, in terms of, like, the energy and the passion and playing on the field, he's an easy guy to follow. Like, that's
of course.
Great.
Of course.
And as a younger guy, the emotion, like, you know, the speech and stuff, there is something to that. When I was younger, like, I would buy into the raw, you know, even a coach, you know, the rah-rah, like, you know, coming out of the tunnel, hitting the, you know, the sign and all that
sure,
crap.
Yeah.
But then you get, and we call it getting pro eyes. You know, it's like, dude, I got to go out here. It's like, I got to get warmed up. I got to get the joints lubed. I'm like the Tin Man before the game. Like, putting on my joints. I'm like, this ain't my first rodeo, right? I don't need dogs out. Like
a 10-minute speech before the game when I'm trying to get in the bath.
10th, 11th year, literally, I could show up to the stadium at 1 o'clock for a 107 game. Let's roll. You know what I mean? Like, I don't need I know what I need to do. It's like, so... You know, that's more what it is. It's not like there is value to that at some point. But then as you get older, it's just kind of like, all right.
It becomes like.
There is no tomorrow. Yeah, I know, but there is. I got a kid now, and there is a tomorrow. So.
Yeah, I know. He's going to wake me up.
Why are you going to feel when you wake up? I'm going to be sore, probably. And I'm going to have about 8 beers tomorrow. And...
Did any of your teammates text you during that? Like, I can just imagine you and all these guys who knew him just going, dude,
well,
his brain
this
is
guy.
Exploded.
We had a guy that came in from Pittsburgh, Kedrick Vincent, and he played a right guard. And he would we'd be walking out and like, you know, Ray wouldn't really say it, and the cameras would be there and he'd start yelling and then like Keith guy would go, oh, there's a camera, Ray. There's the camera, like bust his chops a little bit. But our locker room was you had to have thick skin.
Yeah. Oh,
like
sure.
That's why I don't understand with this Brady thing, the Tom versus time, like he probably gets away with it. Like,
yeah.
Now, granted, we didn't have Tom Brady in our locker room, but
I was something close. You had Dilfer. I mean,
true. But my guess would be though, Brady would have had the, you know, like I'm being in a locker room that we had. He probably would have got used to it, and even though he was great, he would, you know, he probably would have been hammered and made fun of him and ripped apart. Like,
sure,
you know, like something like that. Oh, we had this big like in our training room. They had this big, it used to be outside, so the media got a hold of it, but these, like, probably a row of cabinets, like, maybe 8 yards across, uh-huh. right? And anything you said, any picture, anything would be photocopy printed and would put up there.
Okay.
Any kind of embarrassing moment. You know, I mean, that was before, like, Instagram and Twitter. I don't even know what would happen now. But,
sure.
And you would come in the morning and everybody just be sitting there getting tape and you see this big thing, a certain person did something. Everybody knew.
Yeah.
You're just waiting for them to come in, right?
Yeah.
And they come walking in just like, oh, man. Like, any interview, any, like, it was just, I mean, that's the kind of stuff I miss.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like, I can't believe, like, maybe I'm wrong. I don't know the inside of that locker, but, like, we had Jonathan Ogden, right? He was in this, it was Gepco Insurance. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's a local Maryland insurance or something like that. And in this video, he danced with like these four or five girls around him. It was horrific. I mean, watching him dance, 6'9", 370, was horrific with fat cheeks. I mean, he was, and an afro. So like that came out and we walked into the meeting room and, you know, Billick opens up in the meeting like, all right, here, we got to get ready. And he just starts playing the video. Like, and everybody's just dying. You know, he gets up and dances, but that was expected. Like, I just don't see Bill coming in like playing the Tom versus Time where he's on, like on that yacht with these like, what was that, like 100 like $150,000 Armani like sweatsuit. Yeah. Yeah. Going, right, it's right. So hard. It's so hard.
It's like a Gucci Life Vest.
Yeah, the Gucci Life Vest on, right? Oh, we only wear Gucci here, right? like that should have been played in there.
I know.
But I don't think it is.
No, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen, at least with Bill Belichick. But I guess that is our Patriots talk for this break.
But if you need me, though, yeah. If you need me to write any sort of speech for you,
listen,
that's on my resume now.
At least memorable. You're never going to forget that speech.
No, that's what I want. You know what, Ray? You got to do something memorable. Right. What should I do? Talk about? No, we're going to talk about nothing. And everybody's going to talk about it forever.
For a lifetime.
5:15:75.
Oh, that was glorious. That really was the best. And I knew. And you know what? It was almost.
And you
like,
know why I got that? When I was writing that speech, it was 5:15. And that's why I put, Ray, we're going to go with 5:15. I just went off of that.
That was like The Force Awakens. I knew it was going to be good, but it was even better than I thought it was going to be. I was like, oh, wonderful. Ray Lewis, can't speak enough. All right, well, we will actually talk about the Patriots with Mike Flynn here in studio. If you have any questions, 617-779-0985. We'll get you his opinion on the win. What did you think of yesterday's win? And all more so right after this.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for psychobabble, horse crap.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shotgun snap to Brady. Drops back. Looks to the back of the end zone. For Dorsett. Touchdown, Patriots.
Dagger. An absolute dagger to the Texans, who mismanaged the middle of the field, and they had it there with 2 minutes left. You kick it away to Brady and company. You get it going in a run game. And now you got this guy starting to step up and make plays in a passing game like Philip Dorsett.
98.5 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. And, of course, the Patriots, they win in what looks like a close one when you look at the final score. But it was never really in doubt. Patriots dominate for the beginning of that game and then somehow find a way to let the Texans back in. And we were talking, Mike. We have Mike Flynn in the studio. But if you have a question for him, 617-779-0985. We were talking about teams that just show up at Gillette and crap themselves the minute they get off the bus. That's been something that's been said for years. But is there a team that's more apparent with, or I guess they have more of a what would be the word, track record of that happening than the Houston Texans?
Yeah, I mean, you look at, and listen, I get the challenge with Gronkowski. That's supposed to be from the booth, but you could have called a timeout. I think that was worthwhile. It's stunning to me. The NFL's a joke. They didn't get it in because they tried to get to the referees. They didn't get it in time. The second half, the pace of play and some of the play calling when you're behind didn't make a lot of sense to me. Deshaun Watson, you know, he fumbled the first snap. It wasn't very good. I mean, I don't know if that has to do with him turtling in Gillette. I mean, because last year was pretty damn good. I just don't know if he's ready yet. You know, he didn't look like himself, didn't throw great. I thought they did a really good job keeping in the pocket, but I felt he could have moved a little bit better. You know, it looked like he was chasing ghosts in the pocket a little bit. But yeah, like Houston is certainly one of those teams that have come here and have talent, but never particularly play well.
Yeah, coming back,
but I mean, how do you go 3-and-out and then you open up on a fumble and a read option? I mean, it's just, it's, you want to talk about sucking the life out of a team on the sideline. I mean, honestly, I felt like the game was over right there because you give them an easy field position, you give them an easy touchdown, and then you got to go back out there with a quarterback that hasn't really played. And you know, the defense is still trying to find themselves. They have some talent, but they were very good last year.
Yeah.
Now, that had to do with injuries, so it's not a great defense even now. I mean, J.J. Watt looked okay. So, you know, you can't give up those type of opportunities, and that's just, you can't have it. You know, you can't beat New England in Gillette fumbling the ball in your first. It's ridiculous.
Well, Brady got knocked around a little bit in that second half. What did you make of the O-line situation?
I thought they were fine. I mean, listen, the sack that Watt got, it looked like he was offsides, but it was a great jump. I mean, sometimes that happens. Listen, he's, you know, you chalked it up, a great jump. He's a strong guy. But generally, I thought they were okay. I mean, I think they gave up a couple sacks. They got to him later in the game. But I thought the O-line was okay. I mean, I think if Cannon gets healthy, gets in shape, and he plays more, they'll be fine. Trent Brown was okay. But, you know, the J.J. Watt sack, I think that was just J.J. Watt kind of getting his legs under him and getting some getting off the ball. But I thought they played okay.
All right, Mike, line one, you got a question for Mike Flynn.
Yeah, how you doing? Flynn, hey, neat Patriots game and all, but really I want to get your feedback on the Maine Black Bears going to Western Kentucky and destroying the reigning Conference USA champions. And I don't know if you saw the rankings, but Army and Black Bears are number 7 in the country right now.
Well, the that was like an Aaron Rodgers type comeback without the injury. They were down 21-0 to Western Kentucky.
FBS school, right?
Yes,
big win.
That's what is that? It's not Conference USA. What are they? They're in the same division as Ball State and.
You're asking the
what is that?
This is Jones
territory. You got to know that.
Jones
it's Ball that. State. It's Western Kentucky.
No, I think they are Conference USA.
It is Conference
they?
USA.
Yeah, that's what the guy.
Ball State
said.
Almost beat Notre Dame.
Is your number retired?
Ball State's
up
in the back,
in Maine?
Obviously.
Yes,
it is.
I'm
retired.
In the Hall of Fame, and the number's retired. Yep, I'm up on a. Up on the stadium
nice.
Facade.
How, do you, now, how often do you go up there and like speak, like do inspirational talks?
Not often. I was there last year when the number got retired. Hell of a speech, actually.
Oh, really?
If I may say so. I mean, you obviously.
Well,
I mean,
I wrote, another loss to UNH.
5:15, 7.
No, I didn't use 5:15. I used 4:33 because I wrote the speech at 4:33. You get a pattern with me. I like to use numbers.
Just whatever time it is.
Whatever time it is when I start writing, I just all right. It's 2:40 in the afternoon. All right, go. Boom. 2:43. I was 2 when I was 2.
Well, I mean, remember 5 and yeah. Remember 7.
I will.
They're going to have a recurring attitude in my message.
Those numbers do have attitude. So was there a hardo on your team like J.J. Watt as far as being a guy? Now, listen, I love everything. I hate having to disclaim all this. I love everything he did with the, you know, the all the money he raised for charity.
Yeah, but that has nothing to do with him being a hardo.
Being an absolute hardo.
Hardos could be nice guys. Yeah, just the hardo. I mean,
where's the cameras?
You don't need to, you know, give a, hey, I don't get me wrong. It's like this, no disrespect. You're not like, listen, you don't have to be politically correct.
Apparently he was rifling like 60-yard bombs or something before the game.
Yeah, I don't know
if
you know what the thing is, like the hardo guys like that I think it's bigger now because they could just post on Instagram and Twitter all the time and all those social media things.
Yeah. That's where that's where he gets himself in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, that's
right?
His hardo thing.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Or the hard knocks. Remember, he was staying after practice like.
Oh, the jugs machine.
The jugs machine. Oh, I'm like
one arm catches with the jugs machine.
It's just like once again, like
did he have
I
his own
look
bed
at that
the facility where he was.
Yeah.
He could like take naps.
Film, I'm like, come on. I mean. Khalil Mack isn't doing that. He's just fine. You know, Tom Brady isn't sleeping at the facility. He's pretty good, right? Brady's pretty good. I don't think Gronk's sleeping at the facility.
No, I don't think so.
I don't think he's sleeping at the facility.
Just only when
we have hardos. God, I'm trying to think. We didn't really have a guy that, you know, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing extra. No.
Because
you
bust his balls, right? Like, the team would regulate that, right? If there was someone trying to be Mr. in front of the
camera. Oh, yes, you would regulate that. If you had, you know, we had this segment, Patriots don't do anything, but they have, they'd call it Ravens Wired.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, you know, like wire a player during the week and then wire him during the game, right? If anything came out of, you know, your game day preparation, you would get hammered. Like, so... You were cognizant that, like, anything you did would be held against you.
Okay.
So, you know, you didn't have the total hardos. And if you were, like, most of the guys had, they weren't that sensitive. J.J. Watt, defensive line guys generally have a pretty good demeanor. So, I don't know. I'm guessing that room must hammer him pretty good.
Well, you were on the first season of Hard Knocks. So you, I mean, and it's almost like so pure. It was great because nobody knew what it was going to turn into. However... There are cameras everywhere, and it is HBO. Did you have guys who played things up in front of the cameras who acted
Saragusa completely different? Yeah. Well, that's kind of person, but it was like him on like steroids. It was kind of brutal, you know?
Okay.
But it was great, though. They locked Shannon Sharpe in his when he was doing his meeting room. They locked him in there. But if you saw, they do these skits and everything at the end and through that, and they were like making fun of Shannon Sharpe, the way he talked and all that kind of stuff. So like... You know, even with being on TV and everything that comes with it, like, nobody cared. Like, you know, you got made fun of.
Yeah.
These guys didn't try to put the best foot forward. They just said what they wanted, and their personalities came, which was good. And I think as you get further away from the initial one, when people knew what it was and like, head coaches and organizations like, oh, wait a minute. Like, we don't want to get too crazy here because we're going to look like fools, right?
Right.
But, yeah, the initial one was pretty – it was fun. I don't know. Like, you didn't – There was tons of cameras, but it also wasn't all that intrusive. So,
do you believe the Saragusa story that he tells all the time about
I debunked that. I remember the game.
He taped his butt cheeks together because he had diarrhea.
What he said was, and this was true, he told the trainer, I was there, that if I crap my pants, bring the stretcher out because I'm not going to get up and get embarrassed. So that is true. It was Jacksonville. I don't know what it was. I was the same thing in that game. I missed like warm-ups, dude. I was like... I think we got food poisoning, or it's just Jacksonville food or whatever it was. Like, I couldn't even get out there. I was like, you know, they're like, hey, where's Flynn? I'm like, oh, he's inside. I'm like, I didn't even warm up for that game. Talk about rolling out like 2 minutes before the game. And we were playing. It was like the time they had Henderson and this other guy. They were like 6'9", 340.
Yeah.
Dude, I didn't even like touch my toes before that game. I was on the toilet the whole time. Like, dude, something happened. But first off, how could you take – that doesn't even work. It's going to go somewhere.
Oh, right. It's just going to, I don't know, go inwards.
Look out your nose.
Right. It's going to be like one of those wet willy things they put in the front yard where it just starts shooting everywhere.
Yeah, Johnston asked me. I'm like, no. I mean, that's the kind of story that – like, dude, if you're out there like, hey, by the way, Siragusa has his butt cheeks taped together. Oh, really? That's a story. That's something you're talking about on the plane ride home.
That'd make the bulletin board.
Yeah. That would be on the bulletin board.
Oh, imagine the poor guys who had to bring out that stretcher and carry him off.
Oh, God. Oh. And what would he have smelled like? But, I mean, yeah. But, no, that I remember that. He said, you're going to bring the stretcher out because I'm not walking out like that.
See, I thought it was almost an advantage and a matter of pride for a lot of linemen to maybe do something like that in their pants because it makes them so repulsive.
Yeah, it's like Schlereth
to other players.
Would pee himself.
Right.
His nickname was Stink, right? I don't remember this.
I don't know. Like, these guys that are like, there was a guy there in Baltimore, Steve Everett, and he would never shower after practice. He never washed his clothes. So I think there's like maybe that, I don't know if it's that position that must, like there's maybe the percentage of guys that are nasty and just unhealthy and not washed that like they stigmatize a whole group. But like the idea that Lyme, you know, the Richie Incognitas of the world, they're like, ah, boom, boom, you know, like bam, bam, you know, like they're like, dude, I feel like, you know, it's, I think that's politically incorrect. Offensive linemen are getting a bad rap. A few bad apples spoil the bunch. Like the
there's more layers to you.
I'm a real Renaissance man over there.
Yeah,
I'm offended by it. Like I just think of years of persecution, and I'm going to go to Twitter and defend her. So it's like the line that I played on. We washed.
Yeah,
everybody took a shower. We had clean clothes.
You had gold bond everywhere.
We read.
Oh, they hated us. Like, oh man,
Ravens offensive line book club.
Book club.
What's a
book
month?
Club? We read.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. We're good civilized human beings. We ate. We use the utensils. It's like amazing. And then you get like, you trust to, me, like Zolak.
You need to start like an offensive lineman defense league or something like that. That's what you need.
Everybody else is offended by something. I should start some kind of grievance club.
Yeah. Offensive linemen are people too.
Yes, we are people too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you should be called fat. You serve a purpose.
Although I've heard stories about you guys effing up Outback Steakhouse.
Oh my God, if we killed an Outback
Steakhouse. Did you use utensils that night? It didn't
we
sound
did not.
Like it.
There are some times you don't use utensils.
Just real quick. How many people were there? What did you eat?
There was all nine of us and a couple tight ends.
Okay.
And it was, I don't know.
Tight ends got involved?
Oh, yeah. Everyone.
You're allowed to invite the tight end?
Yeah, we invite the tight ends.
All right.
It was kind of one of those things like, you know, hey, keep bringing the Bloomin' Onion till we pass out. Two every 20 minutes till we pass out. When we pass out, just bring one every 20
minutes. Who had
minutes.
To pay for it?
Roulette?
Who paid for it?
You roulette that?
We roulette sometimes.
Yeah. Sure.
The problem is our lead dog, Ogden, who's made, oh my God, did he make Buku Bucks? He had the best contract ever as a professional athlete because he held them over the barrels when they moved from Cleveland to Baltimore. They don't want to hold out. He was the cheapest guy I've ever met. So, like, he screwed up everything. He really did. He should have paid pretty much for everything. And to this day, it is a sore spot with a lot of us linemen. Cheap. I used to buy his popcorn at movies.
I mean,
that guy was cheap. And we went to the movies for free. I bought his popcorn. And
you guys are still pissed
at Ogden? Hey, by the way, come on in. The movies are free. All we ask is you buy a popcorn. Ogden, I only have a five. I don't know, guys. I don't know if I have any money. I'm like, all right. Well, you want a popcorn? Well, okay.
How much did it cost?
$5.15.75.
Once again, we go back to the five.
It all comes back to $5.15.75. It does. All right, 617-779-0985. We will talk to Mike Flynn right after John Wong's headlines.
Thatcher and Rich.
Hogan, slot left, inside of Dorsett. Brady backs up off the snap, throws it right. White's wide open at the five, trying to make a man miss. He does. Out of the grasp of the defender. Diving to the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots!
great job, Josh McDaniels, with the play calls, with the sets, the quarterback using his eyes, looking left, resetting his feet, full well knowing where James White is on the matchup. They forget about number 20.
.985 a sports hub. It is Toucher and Rich. We got Adam Jones in this morning, and of course, Mr. Mike Flynn spending the hour with us. By the way, quick update. So I don't know if you guys saw any of the Cowboys-Panthers game. All you need to know is that Dallas's offense was held to just 8 points. They lost to the Panthers 16-8. Dez Bryant, meanwhile, continues to just tweet stuff. So apparently a reporter for the Dallas Cowboys tweeted, Cowboys offensive coordinator Scott Linehan declined to comment as he exited the locker room. And to that, Dez Bryant just tweeted a crying laughing emoji.
Yeah.
This was, of course, after he tweeted something saying that he would look great lined up next to Edelman and Gronk and Hogan. Are you in or out on Dez Bryant coming to the Patriots? Like,
I'm not in on any veteran type receiver that comes in and try to learn this offense. Now, if he's on board and he's going to play for $1 million in incentives, I don't know how it hurts you. Because I had a list, right? I put good and bad, like, for the Patriots, right? No, just to keep it simple, like, what
sure.
I liked, what I...
Sure. Sure,
I'm looking at it. It's actually bad and good.
Bad and good, yeah. Sorry. And this is one of the under the bad section. It was Hogan, Patterson, McCarron, 2 catches, Mike Devlin, 4. All right, so whenever you have that...
Fair enough.
...that scenario, it's like, okay...
Right, well, isn't that a bad thing when your fullback gets, like, maybe the biggest catch at the end of the game? That's not a good thing for your offense,
NFL,
right? In
the NFL, where it's, like, a marginalized, almost, like, who really has fullbacks? Mm-hmm. You know, like, if you're playing, like, Nebraska in 1983, like, yeah, it's no, okay like, your
sure.
fullback is fullback.
Right.
No, Mike Devlin's a good player. It's not that. It's just...
James Devlin.
You know, when you look at that, it's James like, Devlin. Okay, yeah. Or James Devlin, sorry. Mike Devlin was an offensive lineman for the Cardinals.
Okay.
You know that?
No, okay. My mind's being blown right now.
All right.
You should know your online history. Once
thanks,
again,
Mike.
I am going to start that. We are people, too.
Wallach's the one with the glasses. He's supposed to know all those stats.
He's sorry. The nerd guy. No, I heard Wallach go, yes, Mike Devlin, Arizona Cardinals.
Okay, thank you.
But, yeah, like, I don't know if it could hurt you, because I don't think his personality is going to be an issue. That doesn't really ruffle a lot of feathers here. You know, a guy coming in, he's going to ruin the locker room. I don't buy that.
He's going to become an expert.
He's going to be.
He's going to become an expert at option routes inside of 2 weeks. He's going to be fine. He's going to fit right in.
Yeah, I mean, I just, but what veteran receiver really has come in here?
Yeah, but
none.
Like, again, okay,
I mean,
none.
Randy Moss, but he
so
was a
what?
Talent of a generation. No,
but are they going to be worse than the guy? You, look at your little bad
but,
list
but
right there. Is he going to be worse than
it's
those guys?
Fine.
Throw it up to him. He'll
if you
want to
take
it
a shot. I don't have an issue with it. I just don't know how effective he's going to be. I just don't think if you bring him in here, it's like, oh, here we go. And at the end of the day, it's three more games that's going to be an issue. Then you're going to get Edelman back, and things will fall into place. Hogan will get his like periphery production that he's good at, but as a main guy, he's probably not. You know, he's going to get you 500 yards receiving, but if you ask him to get 850 for you, he can't do it. But he'll go back to where he belongs, like in his... What is it? What would that be? The fourth role or fifth role or something like that? Yeah, I mean, listen.
He's asking for, well, first of all,
he's not going to get that here. So let's just take the money off the table. I mean, that's a given. Yeah, you're not going to give him $7
million. But let's say that he ends up getting humbled and says, all right, well, I need to play, and he'll do it for $2
million. I mean, yeah, they have the
yes.
money.
Well, I'm with you. I just bring him in, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But I would like to see what that guy with that attitude does in this locker room with that coach. Like, to me, that sounds fun.
I think he'd be fine.
Well,
fine.
Sure, maybe.
Like, here, a guy's like...
If you're Belichick and you see this, him calling out his old offensive coordinator, is that kind of like, all right, well, we're not even going to take a chance on this guy now?
No, I don't think it bothers him. Listen, they brought in a guy, LeGarrette Brunt, who walked off the field on his team. Like, there's nothing worse than that. I mean, to me, I'm stunned that they brought him in here. I mean, you want to talk about giving up. That's like the worst thing you can do. And he brought him back. So I don't think that's an issue. With guys that are like abrasive and malcontents, they cause issues. It's usually first off, it's because if they're a talent and they have leverage, either they're due for a contract or they make a lot of money. The second part of it is right, they it's not their last option, right? Mm-hmm. And it's 2 or 3 years into a relationship with the team. Okay, Dez Bryant's going to come here as a guy who's basically kind of tail between his legs.
Yeah, he's got
he
no
looks
leverage.
Like a fool for not taking the Ravens deal. He has no leverage financially. He has no leverage as the player because they don't need him. They're going to win without him or with him, right? he's going to blend in because he's just happy to have a job and to be on a big stage because now he's going to be on the national games. Brady's going to make him look better than he is. So that's not going to be an issue. He's going to play ball. You know, and it's not like, you know, Randy Moss, he came here, he was great for a while. And then eventually it kind of wore out its welcome. Like, well, if Dez Bryant was in his prime, that would probably happen here too. But that's not going to be an issue. It's not. So it's just, what kind of player is he? I mean, he wasn't very productive at the Cowboys the last couple of years, and he blames it on the offense. So be it. But I just don't know those
he
veteran,
may have a point.
Those veteran guys here, like, there aren't those guys that come here. It's always like you find an Edelman or a Welker. And then Randy Moss, but I mean, he's a talent of a generation.
Sure.
Like, that's a little different animal.
You also didn't bring in Moss during the season. He had all offseason to get acclimated to the offense.
Yes.
That's the difference here.
Yes.
But you're right, Jones. If you pay him $1 million, it couldn't hurt.
Yeah, what's the matter?
But he's not going to be any kind of impact player. And if he's on the field, everyone on defense is going to know what he's there for.
But if, I mean,
there's no danger of a slant over the middle.
But certainly, like, if it's $1 million, he comes in, he could probably give you enough to justify it, which would certainly the first three games are going to help the Patriots because he won't be a problem. And he's got it. I mean, listen, he won't get the offense. I mean, there's a lot of subtleties to it. But you're going to coach him like, listen, boom, boom, boom. These certain combinations, this is what you do, right? Mm-hmm. He's good enough. All the route, you know, how you run them are pretty much similar, right? There's carryover. It's just where you put them, how you, you know, package them in formations and everything like that. So he's going to get that. So he could be effective if he's playing off these other, you know, talents, you know, if like Edelman and Gronkowski. I mean, Gronkowski's like the only guy out there and he's still catching the ball seven times for 130 yards. Like, he probably could have some success like that, you know, production that just kind of falls to you.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's worth the risk because I don't think he's a personality issue and it won't be a financial issue. So, but I don't know. I mean, does he want to play for $1 million?
No, that's the thing. Because if he did, he'd be on a team. He'd be
probably
on some team.
He'd be on Cleveland, right? Didn't Cleveland offer him like $3 or $4 million?
I was going to say, if he wanted to play for $7 million, he'd be on Baltimore already. You know, so
I mean,
like,
he thought that was an insult. Yeah. But I mean, with that said, at some point, like maybe you look in the mirror. But some guys can't look in the mirror and say, nope, this is what you're worth. As soon as you realize what you're worth, and now he left $7 million on the table.
A year.
I know, that's insane.
On a team, Baltimore could be okay. You know what I mean? And you're going to get...
If you judge from yesterday, they're going to be the Super Bowl.
I mean, they played... Okay. Come on.
I guess Flacco doesn't suck.
Yeah, okay.
So he is better, but I'm telling you draft a guy in the first round, a quarterback. You saw with Brady. Brady was good to great, but he was phenomenal once they got corrupt.
Yeah,
it's true.
Lamar Jackson looking over Mahomes last year with Alex Smith.
I think that works.
Awesome.
Yeah.
When you competition, right? You either get better or stay the same. If you stay the same, the guy behind you is going to catch you. Even the great ones like Brady, he gets pushed. There's like Brady would still be good. Brady would not have. This is my opinion. Wouldn't be as good over the last 3 or 4 years. I don't know if they may get to a Super Bowl to win it if it wasn't for.
So are you predicting a down year then? Because he doesn't have that guy.
No, there's still runoff from what he did from Garoppolo, but where's the push? Missing mini cams, he has a lot more leverage. I don't know. I don't think he's pushed himself. It's like, this is the first time I spent time with family. Well, you had a family 3 or 4 years ago. Garoppolo was here. That's why. Now it's okay to spend time with your family. And I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
I'm not hammering the guy, but if you don't think a guy Garoppolo that Belichick absolutely liked and wanted to be here and be the future, of course Brady knows that. You don't think Flacco knows that in Baltimore? So what do? It's like reignites the fire, the flame, right?
Yeah.
You don't take those things for granted and you become better. Because it's not like Flacco and Brady are talentless and they're, you know, no, it's there, but sometimes a fire can bring you to a different level.
All right. I see you have the good and bad list. Where on that list is the non-existence of the TB times this season?
What's that, the TB Times?
That would be the comical newspaper that was tweeted out by Tom Brady after every win that involved a strange alligator.
Oh, it's
not tweeted. Was that on the good or bad list?
Oh, it's on my I don't care list. Sorry, it's on the back. I don't give a bleep.
But in your opinion, yesterday was a good win, right? I mean, despite how it ended, that's a good win.
I think it's a good win. And Jones and I were talking off the air. I mean, it wasn't like a great win, but I think Houston, we both agree, like, I think they could be good. I mean, with Watson, like, is better than he showed yesterday, because I love him. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah.
They'll get Fuller back. They didn't have Fuller.
Yeah, they didn't have Fuller. I thought J.J. Watt, like, he got better as the game. I mean, you had guys that, you know, they weren't great defensively. Listen, a lot of it was injuries. I think they're kind of finding themselves. And I will say this, even if they were better, like, they don't play well here. They just don't. And Bill O'Brien's part of that. You know, you could point to a lot of different things.
That's what Rich was saying. Getting off the bus, they crap themselves here.
They're the number one team to do that.
I don't think it's a great win, but I think it's a good win. I mean, Houston's going to be okay, so it's a good win. I mean, we dissected. I mean, of course, I have a good and a bad list, but there was, I mean, you know, Gronkowski. Like, I thought Brady for the most part, you know, a little bit earlier, a couple times, like he was not connecting there, but like. There wasn't Russ there. Gronkowski? I mean, my God. Like,
man, it looks great.
Is he just another weapon? I look at the pass rush, which, you know, in terms of, like, not just flat beating their man, but the ability to contain DeSean Jackson, stuff like that. I mean, they were great on third downs. I mean, Rowe and Gilmore played the whole game. I mean, just there was a lot of good things. You know, there's things to pick at and pull at with that they definitely need to improve on. But, yeah, it was a good win. I mean, I think Houston could be okay. I mean, it's certainly going to be better than anybody in their division from what I've seen to this point.
All right. Well, Mike Flynn, hey, thanks for coming in this morning. And you're coaching now, right? Did I hear that?
Yes.
Are you whipping those little kids into shape?
I love it.
How old are they?
High school.
Oh, yeah. You got to teach them a thing or two, right?
I love it. I could just... On the line. That's my. I got a whistle and I did.
Oh, God, that's deadly.
I do it like, what's his name? Kurt Russell in Miracle. Again! Again!
You see,
who do you play for? Coach, I play Vern. Again! Dude, the power I have, dude, it's intoxicating.
Yeah.
I get it now how these football coaches at these major colleges just lose their mind and become total a-holes. Egomaniac.
Mike Leach is locking players in like closets and stuff. Yeah,
I'm like, I don't care. Your foot's broken again. Oh, God. Oh, my God.
Get in the equipment shed.
Again. Get on the ground.
Well, that's your coach, kids. We see Mike Flynn come and run the other way. All right. 617-779-0095. Thanks for coming in, Mike. We appreciate it. And we have a brand new Ask a Pink Hat. The Red Sox are winning, so we've got one coming up in just about 8 minutes. We'll get to that right after this.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Sports Hub, it is Toucher and Rich. I am very excited to announce that this season we are going to have a mix of brand new guests that we are going to have weekly throughout the NFL season. First of all, being on Wednesdays, we are going to have our good friend Rob Ninkovich on. Rob Ninkovich is going to be on with us, and we love having him here.
He's
a good friend of the show.
I have a question we have to ask Ninkovich, like, right out of the gate on Wednesday. He was at this charity event with Zolak. Apparently, now there is a Zolak suit that you can buy for charity. The inner lining is nothing but pictures of Zoe in this suit.
Okay, you told me about this. Can you find me a link?
I will. It's on Twitter. It's not hard to find. It's all Zoe, and there are pictures of Zoe, and we're not on TV, so Jones, you're going to have to describe this. Zoe with his mouth open going like this.
Because I know it's for
pointing
charity.
Pointing at you, screaming like he tweets every day on his way in to work.
I understand it's for charity,
yes.
But what maniac's going to buy that?
Ninkovich was standing right next to him, smiling during the event. I have to ask Ninkovich what it's like to stand next to a guy who does not deserve his own suit, yet has one.
Like, give the money to that charity or to that company that's doing
this. Yes, good for what you said for doing it for charity.
Who's going to wear a suit with Scott Zolak's face all over it? And if they do, if I'm Scott Zolak, I don't want to be anywhere near that.
It's a good point.
It's like, I'd like to wear your skin. Yes,
to the best of my knowledge. It is the liner of the suit.
Oh, it's a liner of the suit.
So you open up the inside of the jacket, and it's Zoe almost like jumping out of the booth, like, who's coming for you? It's almost like a Macho Man kind of a point.
All right.
But it is the liner.
Okay,
it's not a mistake.
Sorry.
It's still weird.
Suit.
Either way, it's still
Zoe it's almost, suit. It's almost weirder when you think about it.
Well, you know what? I mean, it's. I have a feeling Zolak's going to buy it. For himself. Just wear it around.
I bet all Zoe's clothes now are just that.
Yeah. So do they have to make it for him? Because, I mean, suits are tailored.
Oh, that's not off the rack. Come on now.
That's not off the rack.
It's a custom suit shop that Zoe goes to. You know what it is.
I know, but I didn't know if they already had a suit. It was just, you win this suit. Like, it's one that Zoe had worn.
No.
Has a sweat on it, you know, and you can huff it.
Oh, when you're feeling Randy. Okay.
You know, on Sunday as you're watching the game and listening to us on the radio go.
But anyway, I
like the dude from Blue Velvet.
Ninkovich on Wednesday.
Those game worn jerseys didn't get that sweaty.
No, they did not. Let's not. We have Ninkovich on Wednesday. Also, by the way, we are still working on the return of Brandon Merriweather. There's a problem, though. Is it Brandon Merriweather? He's got some own things that he wants to deal with first. So I'm letting him just know that the invitation's still open to Brandon Merriweather. He says he's got to do him for a little bit.
Okay.
And so then hopefully something might happen. On top of that, at this time, every Monday, or actually the day after every Patriots game, in studio with us for an hour at 7 o'clock, our good friend.
Now whip it.
Mr. Troy Brown.
Into shape.
All right.
Shape it up. Get it
straight. Was this Troy George?
Go for it.
Yes,
Troy George.
Move ahead. Try to detect it. It's not too late to whip it. Whip it good. Roadie to the max.
And you know he's never heard that song before in his life.
I'll just say whatever you want me to do. That's fine. So that's right. Troy Brown in studio the day after every Patriots game. We'll have him in here for an hour, which will be a lot of fun. Both.